MGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show coming up for you guys today here on Send It In. Our guy Nick Kenyon going to join us here in moments, get his thoughts on Week 15 in the NFL. I'm also going to break down Week 15 in the NFL as well. We'll dive into some of my favorite bowl games that we have coming up in college football. Everybody's looking forward to the playoff, but we already got some other games that I'm looking at some good numbers. We know these lines with the opt-outs move furious and fast, so hoping to get some good numbers on some of those games. Good slate in college basketball tonight. We'll break down some of my favorite games, and then we'll wrap everything up with my favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Tuesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glass for Guest line and check in with our guy Nick Kenyon, who joins us now. Give Nick a follow on X at Nick Kenyon, senior writer for Bet MGM. And Nick, we got an interesting slate this week. Week 15, a lot of big favorites, some good games. Let's start with some of the marquee matchups, including a big one in the AFC East between the Bills and the Patriots. Patriots looking for the season sweep and looking to win the division on Sunday, but Buffalo's a small one-point favorite. Who do you like in this game?
If New England were healthier, I would really like to sell Buffalo in this spot because, again, you're getting them off a massive come-from-behind win against the Bengals. Like, they were playing from behind the whole game, and I don't know if New England is the team you want to play from behind against. Needed a lot of turnover luck against Joe Burrow in order to come from behind and ultimately win a high-scoring game. That being said, I don't really trust the Patriots right now. Will Campbell's still going to miss. Milton Williams is still going to miss. Maybe that allows Buffalo to run the ball. And I think if you like New England, you're banking on a lot of turnover luck continuing. Josh Allen, the Bills aren't getting my money because Josh Allen has been horrific against man coverage this season. Patriots play that one of the highest rates in the league. So probably sitting it out. I don't trust New England enough given their injuries. And I'm holding a Patriots AFC East ticket. So I de facto have money in this game. So if Patriots win, that ticket obviously cashes. So no play on this one for me.
All right, next game up, Nick, we got the Packers and the Broncos. Green Bay, a 2.5-point favorite in Denver. Maybe this is a Super Bowl preview. I don't think it is. Maybe some people do. Certainly both teams toward the top in their respective leagues. Who do you like in that game?
I mean, let's just make it 3 weeks in a row, PJ. I've sold Denver 2 weeks in a row now against worse competition. They failed to cover against the Commanders, failed to cover against the Raiders. I know some people think that was a little bit, you know, fugazi with the late game theatrics there, but it's the hardest game all year for Denver. They have not played a top five DVOA team since week two against the Colts, and they obviously lost that one in dramatic fashion. But I just think for the offense in particular, they have played the easiest schedule of opposing defenses all season, and this Packers defense looks really good. And I think you're going to see kind of a bounce back effort after they looked not great against the Bears, but I think Chicago's offense is better than the version of this Broncos team, which just can't run the ball since J.K. Dobbins has gone out. That's how you attack this Packers defense. And if you're telling me that, like, Bo Nix is going to play for a quarter and they're somehow going to pull off another miraculous victory, I'm not buying it. Like, we've talked all year about the Broncos are due for a ton of negative regression. I think Green Bay goes in there and wins outright. It wouldn't lay the 2.5, but money line -125 was my bet. Anything under, let's say, -140, I think you're still getting a good price on the Packers.
Other marquee game we have Sunday is the Lions and the Rams. LA, a 6-point favorite at home with a super high total at 55.5. You doing anything in Detroit and LA on Sunday, Nick?
If Detroit were healthy, this would be a great spot for them. But Terron Arnold's out, Kirby Joseph is unknown, and Brian Branch looks like he's done for the year now. I don't know that there's a worse game for that, for all three of those injuries to coalesce than the Rams, who just look like absolute world beaters on offense. The Lions are going to have to score like 35 to have any chance of covering this number, given the way the Rams are performing on offense right now, just because they have nobody healthy. I mean, since they lost these guys. Their last two games, they are 30th in dropback expected points added for play. That came against Jordan Love and Dak Prescott. And I think the Rams are a huge step up in defensive class over the Cowboys last week. I know the Lions have extra time to repair, and I know I'm supposed to sell the Rams, but this offense is just humming, and I don't trust Detroit to play from behind and rack up points through the air when they can't really run the ball against this team. So laid 5.5 with Los Angeles. Still like it at -6 right now. At 6.5, you maybe start getting me to think about the Lions a little bit, but I think it's the Rams or nothing for me.
Talking with Nick Kenyon here on Send It In, breaking down the Week 15 NFL slate. All right, Nick, let's look at some of the games with bigger point spreads. We have 6 games this week where we have a team favored by over a touchdown. Any of those games, are you looking at maybe taking the dog this week?
Yeah, I'm going to be the donkey and take... I took it at a worse number, but I grabbed Indy at 11.5 against the Seahawks. Like, look, the quarterback situation, not ideal. 44-year-old Philip Rivers coming through that door is genuinely scary. That being said, this is still a team that can run the ball. This is still a good offensive line that you have with the Colts. And you at least have to respect the play action with... you know, the Colts because of Jonathan Taylor's presence. And everyone's saying like, oh, you know, Seattle's just going to put 9 guys in inside the box and dare these teams to beat you play action. That's all well and good, but it just takes one big run from Taylor to set them up for success in the red zone. And I know it didn't seem like it for the Vikings, but Max Brosmer did move the ball against the Seahawks defense, which has played a remarkably easy set of offenses. And I know their margins have been really big of late, like 22-point win over the Cardinals at home. They scored 2 defensive touchdowns in that game. They added a defensive touchdown against the Vikings and scored a touchdown after Minnesota turned the ball over at its own 29-yard line. So I just think these big margins are creating this inflated sense of confidence with Seattle. And I still think the Colts can run the ball. One more nugget here. The Seahawks are 26th in DVOA against tight ends. That's not good when you're playing Tyler Warren. So I took 11.5 with the Colts. Obviously, still like it at 13.5. I just think Seattle's a little bit inflated right now.
I love the handicap because, again, Brosmer and Minnesota went out there a couple weeks ago. We're 11.5. Now you're getting 13.5. I think Riley Leonard's probably going to go
crazy
for the Colts. So I'm with you. Feels like it would only be Indy or nothing. Seattle, keep in mind, they also got the Rams coming up next Thursday, right? So definitely could be a little bit of a look ahead there. Nick, before we talk some soccer, I want to get your thoughts on the World Cup here in a little bit with the draw that we had last Friday. Any other games that you want to talk about in the NFL this week that we didn't discuss?
I took 5.5 with Atlanta on Thursday night against Tampa Bay. The Bucs have been running lucky all year, and the offense just isn't working. If Tristan Wirfs is out, I think that injury matters more than Drake London's potential absence for Atlanta. Tampa Bay cannot stop opposing running backs through the air or on the ground. They tend to allow a lot of explosive runs. That's not good against Bijan Robinson. So I think irrespective of London's status, I like Atlanta getting the points. And then 2 flirtations early in the week. I really want to be on Houston team total under against the Cardinals. Arizona just got embarrassed defensively against the Rams, but they played one of the hardest set of opposing offenses all season, and I still don't trust this Houston offense. I think the number is a little inflated there, but I don't really know if I trust Jacoby Brissett to come from behind and pass his way to a backdoor cover against this Houston defense. So maybe just a team total under look there. And then right back to the well again, if Lane Johnson and Jalen Carter are out, Johnson looks like he might be playing, but even if Carter doesn't play, I think you see Vegas run the ball. And so I'm flirting a little bit with the Raiders getting 11.5 against the Eagles off a road overtime Monday Night Football game. Horrible spot for the Eagles. So kind of flirting with that early in the week.
I like it. Nick, before we do talk some soccer, Super Bowl predictions with a month to go left in the season. Right now, if you had to pick your Super Bowl, who would it be?
The Rams have not lost the success rate battle this season. All 3 of their losses, it's just because of turnovers. Like, that Eagles loss was fluky. Same with the one against the Panthers. And then I'm blanking on the other loss. But I think the Rams are far and away the best team in the NFL right now. I'm holding that hope because I have a Green Bay Super Bowl ticket. But don't have a lot of confidence in that if it ends up being Rams-Packers in the NFC Championship. AFC wide open. I could change my opinion every single week. Right now, I think if of the teams that are currently in the playoffs, I think it's either Houston or Buffalo. Like, I think it's one of those two teams. I don't trust Buffalo's defense. I don't trust Houston's offense. So I think whatever happens, the NFC is winning the Super Bowl. But I think the Rams are, barring an injury, are well on their way to reaching the big game.
Yeah, the other loss was that Thursday night game against San Francisco, where, like you said, turnovers should have ended up winning. So, yeah, that's what ended up happening. Nick, World Cup, right? U.S., I think a lot of people feel like they got a favorable draw. Right now, Spain's your favorite. England's up there. France, the usual suspects. Did you have any big takeaways? Did you make any bets now that you finally saw the groupings?
Yeah, the World Cup futures, it's interesting. It's kind of an exercise in foolishness because it's probably going to be one of Spain, England, or France that wins it. But you can do very well just by taking teams that are in really good form. I bet the Netherlands at 20-1. They're kind of going through their golden generation of defensive talent. Virgil van Dijk, Mickey van de Ven, Jan-Paul van Hekke, Jurrien Timber. I mean, they have so many good defenders. And the midfield partnership of Koop Meiners and Frankie de Jong, one of the best in the world. You want to look at these good defensive teams. Two bombs for me. Ecuador at 100-1. Switzerland 100-1. Those are kind of the two long shots that I think could look a lot like Morocco in 2022. Switzerland has a really good midfield partnership, Remo Freuler and Granit Xhaka. And then Ecuador is kind of this team that's just greater than the sum of its parts. They have a really good defensive structure and finished second in qualifying and went toe-to-toe with Argentina, toe-to-toe with Brazil. I think they're a sneaky dark horse candidate in the World Cup. As far as the groups go, you're going to have to pay a tax if you want to bet the U.S. to win their group. If Turkey makes it through qualifying, I'll have a bet on them to win that group because they just have a bunch of good talent in the midfield and in defense. The teams I wanted to sell got really easy groups, and the teams I wanted to buy got really hard groups. So probably staying away from many group futures, but I would not be looking to bet teams like Argentina or Belgium as big group favorites. They're kind of fraudulent, especially with Messi might be missing this tournament. So those are the bets I've made, but I'm waiting to see who comes through these UEFA playoffs before I decide on any group futures.
Absolutely love it. 6 months away from the World Cup, but it'll be here before we know it. Our guy Nick Kenyon, give him a follow on X at Nick Kenyon, senior writer for BetMGM. Always great stuff, catching up every Tuesday with our guy Nick. Nick, good luck this week, my friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, you too, PJ.
All right, good stuff there from Nick Kenyon. Let's keep it rolling here on Send It In and continue to break down the Week 15 NFL slate as we always do on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll look at half the games on the slate today. We'll look at the other half of the games tomorrow. We'll start with Thursday Night Football. We got the Falcons and the Bucks. Tampa Bay, a 4.5-point favorite at home, total in the game, 44.5. Nick makes a good case for Atlanta. Tampa Bay's defense right now is beat up. They really are struggling to stop opposing running backs. New Orleans went in there on Sunday and really were able to move the ball. Tyler Shuck played pretty well. He was able to generate some explosive plays, especially with his legs. The problem is, with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback, there's really not a mobile quarterback that Tampa Bay has to worry about. So I think that is going to help their defense. Certainly key in on Bijan. Drake London doesn't play. That's going to be a big deal as well. I'd probably wait for the injury report, see what's up with Drake London. If he plays, maybe a lean towards Atlanta, but I'll probably end up staying away from that game on Thursday night. Ravens and Bengals on Sunday. Ravens have lost two straight divisional games. This is the second time in the last 3 weeks that these teams are matching up. I think Cincinnati in a teaser is a great look. Teasing the Bengals up to 8. These games are always close, especially in Cincinnati. I would expect this game to come down to the wire. Now that we're down to -2, I think the Ravens on the money line at -140, probably a good spot. The way this AFC North has been going all season, as soon as we think we know something and as soon as we think one team's going to take stranglehold of the division over the other, then that team loses and the other team jumps up into the picture, right? After the Steelers beat the Ravens, now the Steelers are in the driver's seat. They look like they're in good position. Ravens are going on the road, playing a tough game against the Bengals. Steelers got the Dolphins at home on Monday Night Football. Wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens won this week and the Steelers lost on Monday. So I think the Ravens, who are much better on the road, and it's been that way for the last couple years, going to be tough for Cincinnati to beat them twice in a three-week span. Ravens had all those turnovers on Thanksgiving night. I'd look at Baltimore on the money line at minus 140. Bills and Patriots going to be a fun one in Foxborough on Sunday. Bills are a one-point favorite. Total in the game is 49.5. You just want to bet Buffalo on the money line. They're minus 115, and the Patriots are minus 105. Patriots win this game, they win the division. Buffalo, it feels like a good live betting game if the Patriots get up early. If you're able to get a 6.5, 7.5 with Buffalo, that feels like a great bet. So if you like the Bills initially in the game, I wouldn't be afraid to double down on the Bills. They've been an up-and-down team this season, right? They have a great performance followed by a bad performance. And last week against the Bengals, they should have lost that game, which tells me that this week, they'll probably bounce back and play well. The Patriots have had a great season. They're 11-2. We all know that schedule has been extremely favorable. They haven't played very good teams. They're coming off a bye week, and they're trying to beat the Bills for the second time in the same season. This is a playoff game, and I'm leaning on the experience of Josh Allen, McDermott, and that Bills roster that has been in so many playoff battles throughout the last 6-7 years. I'll take Bills minus 115 against the Patriots. Giants are a 2-point favorite at home against Washington. Total in the game is 47.5. You could definitely make the argument that Tennessee and the Raiders are probably the two worst teams in football. You could also make an argument that maybe the Washington Commanders are the worst team in football. After losing 31-0 to J.J. McCarthy and the Minnesota Vikings, Washington does nothing well. Their defense is atrocious. Their offense, even with Jaden back, looked like a complete disaster. They're broken. It's clearly not their season. And not only are they losing, but they're losing by margin, right? I mean, they're not even coming close to covering any of these spreads outside of the Denver game that we saw last week. Giants are coming off a bye week, and at least with the Giants, we've seen flashes, we've seen stretches in games where they've been able to dominate people. Where the Giants have struggled this season is closing out games in the fourth quarter. The good thing for them, if they have a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, Washington likely not the kind of team that's going to make a comeback and win the game. So I think Giants at home, minus 125, a good bet against Washington on Sunday. Bears are favored by 7.5 against the Browns. Total is 40.5. I bet Cleveland this morning, and more that I start to think about this game, the more that I love the Cleveland Browns. Wouldn't it just be so Chicago Bears for them to go to Philadelphia, win that game, be competitive against Green Bay? Remember the perception around the Bears before that two-game stretch against the Eagles and the Packers, how we were all calling them frauds. We didn't think they were any good. People thought this team was still going to miss the playoffs. Now, after that two-game stretch, we're all kind of thinking, you know what? Bears are decent. Bears, maybe they get into the playoffs. They can win a game, maybe two games potentially in that wide-open NFC. The Bears have the Packers, the Niners, and the Lions upcoming to finish their season. Three massive games. They're coming off two massive road games. And all that stands in between is them at home as a 7-point favorite against the Browns. I like betting the Bears when they're an underdog. I like betting the Bears when people aren't giving them any credit and don't think they can hang with some of the top teams in the NFC. But in these kind of games, when Caleb Williams is laying over a touchdown against an elite defense in Cleveland, I like the Browns in this spot, and I'd maybe take a look at the money line at plus 310 as well. I also love the Chiefs this week against the Chargers, -4. Total in the game is up to 43. If you like the Chiefs on the money line, -200. Chargers are plus 165. What a brutal spot this is for the LA Chargers. You're coming off a short week, overtime win. Your offensive line continues to get banged up. Your quarterback is banged up. You're trying to beat the Chiefs for the second time in the same season, and Kansas City is playing for their playoff lives. At this point, it's pretty much a prayer for Kansas City because the Chargers are three games up on them, and Houston with the tiebreaker is three games up on them. So they're going to need one of those two teams to lose out, and Kansas City is going to need to win out, and that's probably not going to happen. So Kansas City's probably going to miss the postseason, but they're going to continue to fight until their season is mathematically eliminated, and I just think it's a brutal spot for the Chargers. That Kansas City defense is playing very well, and I think the offense shows up and scores maybe 24. That feels like a 24-14 kind of game to me on Sunday, so I like Kansas City minus the 4.5. Eagles and Raiders totaling the game 38.5. I agree with Nick. It would only be Raiders for me in this game. Talked about it yesterday, and the reason I like the Chargers in the game against Philadelphia. The last few years, the Eagles have showed us who they are. When the Eagles are running hot, when they have all this momentum, when they're playing good football, they don't lose. They go on these big winning streaks and they're a juggernaut. But when Philly struggles, they struggle and their season starts to unspiral. And that offense just, it's not going to change overnight. Jalen Hurts looked awful last night. I get the Raiders are atrocious, but the Eagles offense right now is also atrocious and it's not great. And it's not the kind of offense I want to lay 11.5, 12.5 points with in an NFL game. So I think the Eagles win, but I wouldn't lay the 11.5 points with them. So it would only be Raiders for me in that game. And it's the same thing with the Jags against the Jets. I think certainly more people would feel comfortable about laying a big number with the Jags. Their offense has been good here as of late. We know the Jets are one of the worst teams in football. They just got smoked by Miami on Sunday. But keep in mind the fact that the look-ahead line in this game was Jags minus 8.5. And now it's Jags minus 12. We're this late in the season, and you're making a 3.5-point bump for Jacksonville. Why? Because Daniel Jones got hurt earlier in that game, and they just ran up the score with Riley Leonard, or because the Jets got blown out because the Jets are one of the worst teams in the NFL. Not a lot of us expected the Dolphins to beat the Jets the way that they did, but Miami was favored in the game. Wasn't a surprise that they lost, and the Jags were a 1.5-point dog. And again, once Leonard got hurt, I mean, you knew that the Jags were going to win the game. I just think going from 8.5 to 12 is a little bit too much. So just like the Raiders, it would only be Jets or nothing for me against the Jags. All right, let's talk about some of these bowl games we got coming up in college football. Five games that I would keep an eye on at the current prices that I like right now. Let's start with the StatDNA Cure Bowl out in Orlando. Old Dominion and South Florida. I like this ODU team a lot. I take them plus 6.5. And I'd look at some ODU money line in the game as well. USF's one of these teams that I'm looking to fade during bowl season, where their head coach, Alex Golish, left. He's off to Auburn. This is a team that for much of the year had college football playoff aspirations, right? They had that big upset against Florida. Then they had that big win against North Texas in the middle of the season. The college football playoff rankings came out. They're the first group of five team up there. Then they have the crushing loss to Memphis. Then they lose again to Navy, and their season's over. So how much more does USF really have in the tank? How motivated are they? Meanwhile, Old Dominion is the second best team in the Sun Belt behind JMU. I really like their team a lot. I like their quarterback a lot. Matt Josephs, who is going to be out in this game, but their running game is very good and their defense is very good as well. So I like ODU plus 6.5 against South Florida. 68 Ventures Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. I'm going to take Delaware plus the 3.5 against Louisiana. Louisiana down the stretch was very good. They won four straight games. They were 2-6, got to 6-6 to make them bowl eligible. But in three of those four wins, they won by 4 points or fewer. They're laying 3.5 points here against a Delaware team, who I'm a big fan of. I like their quarterback. I like their offense. They've been a great surprise this season in their first year of FBS football. Think 3.5 is too many. I'll take the Blue Hens plus the points against Louisiana. Then in the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl, we got Western Kentucky and Southern Miss out in Boca Raton. Western Kentucky's laying 4 against Southern Miss, total 55.5. Charles Huff, the head coach for Southern Miss, is leaving to take the job at Memphis. So you have one of these situations where players are going to opt out. Coaches are going to move on. How much motivation is there for this SMU team? Western Kentucky, meanwhile, been a very competitive team this season. Their quarterback got hurt with 5 games left to go in the season, but their offensive production really hasn't dropped too much. And for me, very encouraging sign heading into this game. Western Kentucky, their final 2 games of the season, they played at LSU and at Jacksonville State, who made it to the Conference USA Championship game. They lost by 3 in both of those games, in Baton Rouge and in Jacksonville against Jacksonville State. So Western Kentucky played well down the stretch to end the season. I think 4 is too small. I think this thing closes closer to a touchdown, so I'll lay the 4 with the Hilltoppers. Then we got the Valero Alamo Bowl in San Antonio between USC and TCU. Trojans are laying 6.5. Total in the game is 50.5. I mean, if you're giving me a competent underdog with a good quarterback in TCU, plus the points against a Lincoln Riley team who's playing out of the state of California, I'm going to take that every single time. Now, Lincoln Riley and USC have actually been pretty good in these bowl games the last couple of years, but they've been underdogs and nobody has really given them a chance in either of these games. Now they're a favorite. We're expecting things of them. And this TCU team can play, man. Josh Hoover's a solid quarterback. Their defense is underrated. And I've just liked them all year. I think 6.5 is too many points. I think this should be closer to like 3.5, to be honest with you. So I'll take the 6.5 with TCU. And then finally, we got the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl between Arizona State and Duke in El Paso. ASU is a 1.5-point dog against Duke. And I'm all about Arizona State in this game against the Blue Devils. We were all over Duke in the ACC championship game against Virginia. And I told you guys, Duke is an easy team to bet. When nobody wants them and they're an underdog, that's when Manny Diaz's boys show up and play well. But when Duke is a favorite or Duke is in one of these like funny, tricky point spreads, one of these trap point spreads, that's when they don't show up. You're getting the better coach here with Kenny Dillingham. You're getting a more motivated team, I would assume, with ASU. Duke won the ACC championship. I still think they're living off that. They're feeling good. They won their Super Bowl. They don't care about this game. ASU looking to close the season strong. They got a lot of returning production off that team that won the Big 12 last year. I think they want to go out the right way. I think they close as a favorite in this game. I'll take ASU plus 1.5 against Duke with the total in that game at 49.5. All right, let's talk a little college basketball now here on Send It In. Pretty solid slate tonight. 5 games that I'm looking at on the hardwood. We'll start with the first game up at Madison Square Garden tonight, and that is going to be between Clemson and BYU. BYU is a 6.5-point favorite. Total in the game is 150.5. I like the first half under in this game at 70.5. Brad Brownell's been very good throughout his career with Clemson when he's gone up against good offensive teams or he's gone up against teams that want to play at a high pace, of kind of dictating the tempo, especially in the first half. You look at when they played Bama last week in the SEC-ACC Challenge. That was a low-scoring game in the first half. And Madison Square Garden, there's going to be nerves on both sides. Maybe teams are a little sloppy to start. I think low-scoring, and then maybe it picks up in the second half. But I'll take first half under 70.5 between Clemson and BYU. Then we got Villanova taking on Michigan and Ann Arbor. The Wolverines are 16.5-point favorite. Total in the game is 153.5. Going with another first half bet here. I'm laying 9.5 with Michigan in the first half against Villanova. We all saw what they did out in Vegas, the San Diego State, Auburn, and Gonzaga. The final scores were eye-popping, but it's what they did in the first half. How they got on those teams at the jump. And I think that's what Michigan does again to Villanova. They just get up on you. They get out to a 20-25-point lead at halftime, and then they just roll in the second half. So I like Michigan minus 9.5 in the first half against Villanova. Illinois and Ohio State's an interesting game tonight in Columbus. Illini laying 4.5 on the road. Total is 160.5. The total has actually moved 6 points. It's gone from 154.5 to 160.5. So clearly there are a lot of people expecting some points. Illinois, this is their first true road game of the season. Ohio State's a talented team. 4.5 feels about right. I'd stay away, but I think this could be a good game to bet live, potentially, either side. I think Indiana's going to smoke Penn State tonight. They're favored by 15.5. Penn State's got a nice record, but they haven't played anybody this season, and the Hoosiers off of 2 straight losses. I think they roll tonight. And then the big one, Florida and UConn, top 15 matchup. I'm going to lay it with the Huskies at minus 4.5. Dan Hurley and UConn do not lose these kinds of games at Madison Square Garden, and they just don't lose these kind of games in general. If it's a big game in the non-conference early in the season, these are the kind of games that Dan Hurley and UConn have been covering and have been winning for the last 3 to 4 years. So I'll take UConn minus 4.5 against the Gators. All right, real quick, a promo we got to tell you about from BetMGM, a pro football SGP boost token. You thought out the parlay, now boost it. Use this boost token on any pro football same game parlay and grab a bigger payout if you win. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app today and please gamble responsibly. Real quick, got about 20-30 seconds to give out our favorite plays of the day. We're sticking with that UConn-Florida game, solo ball. We're going to take over 14.5 points for him tonight against the Gators. I'd look at Ohio State in the first half as my dog of the day, plus 2.5 against Illinois, and then give me UConn, minus 4.5 is my best bet against Florida. Thanks again to Nick Kenyon for joining us today on the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.